Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue our November series on the most important primary that we're hearing little about, South Carolina. It's one of the early pre-Super-Duper Tuesday primaries. We call it Tsunami Tuesday around here now. So many states are going to vote. And South Carolina could be make or break for some candidates after New Hampshire and Iowa. So back with us now to keep following the campaign there and to talk about New Yorkers' biggest misconceptions about politics in the South today is Leroy Chapman, editor for the biggest daily newspaper in South Carolina, The State. Hi again from New York, Leroy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine this morning. How are you?
Good. And we open up the phones for what you think are New Yorkers' biggest misconceptions about politics in the South, or anything you always wanted to ask someone knowledgeable about politics in the South and had no one to ask. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and our comments page always open at Brian Lehrer Show, at the Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. First, we're going to play a clip in a minute of Michelle Obama that's really striking and relates to South Carolina. But do you have any new poll numbers on the Democrats this week? Last week you told us Clinton had a solid lead, but Obama was starting to come up. Now Mrs. Clinton has gone down nationally a bit since that last debate. Is it happening in South Carolina too?
Don't have any new polling numbers that reflect that, but I do have some interesting poll numbers that speak to that race, though. From the last poll we had that had her up, if you do the crosstabs and look at it racially, it breaks down that Hillary has a pretty sizable lead among white Democrats. About 40% are saying they're going to support Hillary, and Edwards is second, and he gets right at about 20%. And Obama is actually trailing badly in third.
Really?
Yes, among white Democrats.
Among white Democrats. And we should mention, you told us 2 weeks ago that half the Democratic primary voters in South Carolina are expected to be African American.
Yes, sir.
Probably the highest percentage in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is it's critical. And if you talk about Michelle Obama's comments, yes, it pertains to South Carolina because.
So among whites, it's Clinton, Edwards, Obama, and among blacks?
Among blacks, it's Obama who has a slight lead over Hillary, but it's not pronounced. He is right about the 40% range, actually, among black voters, and Hillary Clinton is in the mid-30s, and Edwards is trailing badly in that category. So if you're the Clinton campaign, you probably feel pretty good because you're doing much better among black South Carolina voters than Obama is doing among white South Carolina voters.
Right. And nationally, from what I've read, Hillary Clinton is polling higher than Barack Obama, even among African Americans. And in that context, Michelle Obama was asked on MSNBC this week about that polling disparity, and here's part of her response.
I think that's not going to hold. I'm completely confident. Black America will wake up and get it. But what we're dealing with in the black community is just the natural fear of possibility.
Natural fear of possibility. And she went on to say that for so long, African Americans have told that they can't do it, that they can't succeed, that they can't win, that maybe they're internalizing that in deciding to go for a Democrat who they see as more electable, Hillary Clinton. How's that playing down in South Carolina?
It's interesting. This is one of the more fascinating parts of the entire race because you've got these black voters who are going to have this important influential role in electing or at least trying to choose a nominee. And so what we've got here is I think among the African American community, you've got probably more older African Americans who are supporting Hillary. And I think you've probably got younger African Americans who are supporting Obama. And part of that has to do with younger African Americans identifying with Obama's career arc. He is, not a civil rights baby. He's a guy who walked right through, and through his hard work, he wound up being put in positions where he broke a lot of glass ceilings. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of young professionals see that. I think with a lot of the older black Democrats, many of them think that if Obama is really going to be strong on civil rights? Can he be and still win? So they think, I think they're looking at him as a candidate who may have to compromise himself a bit on civil rights in order to appeal to white voters. So it's a strange mix of psychology here of motivations, and it's a fascinating thing. So if you talk to black voters here, they wonder about electability. They wonder whether or not Obama would even be if his safety is going to be an issue if he becomes president. So it's,
yeah.
So if you go to the places where African American voters are, you know, the barbershops and in the community, you hear a lot of angst really about the among older people, especially about Obama's candidacy.
So I read that the most frequently visited cities nationally in the campaign have been Washington D.C. with 131 campaign events, then Des Moines 121 and Manchester, New Hampshire 87, according to campaign schedules tracked by the New York Times. But then three South Carolina cities have been extremely popular. Columbia had 59 campaign events, and Charleston and Greenville each had 22. And I wonder if you want to tell us about those places a little bit. Why does Columbia, South Carolina, get so many campaign events? What's it like in Columbia? Who votes there, and why do these candidates all go there?
Well, Columbia, our metro area, has got two counties. Richland County is a, you know, it's where the where state government is. It is a county that's majority black, and it's a Democratic county. On the other side of the river, we're split, is Lexington County, and it's a majority white county, and it is a Republican stronghold. So if you're a Democrat or Republican, you come to Columbia. And the reason you come, of course, is that you've got two of the largest counties in the state here, and one clearly Republican, one clearly Democrat. So that's why you come here. But Columbia has the University of South Carolina, which is our state university. It's the capital city, so you've got all of state government that's here. So you've got a lot of politics that's here. So if you're talking politics in South Carolina, you got to come to Columbia,
and
because that's where it lives.
State media, I would imagine, too. Is that where is that where you are?
We are in Columbia, yes. So we are. We're the largest newspaper here. So, yeah, you come to Columbia too because you want to get in the state newspaper.
By the way, I hear that Bill Clinton ruffled some feathers campaigning for his wife there this week by saying, "Those boys have been getting tough on her lately." You know about that?
I do know about that.
So people knocked him for using the word "boys."
Yeah, a little bit, and all of it goes into Mr. Clinton. I think really trying to highlight what happened in the last debate. I mean, we got a debate that's coming up tonight, and obviously Hillary became the point of contention through all of it, and it was probably not the best night for Mrs. Clinton.
But Bill Clinton's defense was that it was a regionalism, that saying "boys" was just Southern vernacular from an old Arkansan. Does that go down in South Carolina?
Among people who are fair-minded about Clinton, of course, you know, you've got some people who will attack him about anything. But I think among Southerners, it's probably not as offensive as it is in other parts of the country. Now, you know, the other thing that happened here with John McCain, I think that there's probably more universal condemnation for using that sort of term.
All right.
In public. So that goes against our Southern politeness to use that sort of term.
Okay. In fact, we're going to play that clip.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the word here. So those of you who are easily offended, cover your ears. And apparently at a campaign stop in South Carolina, somebody in the audience, referring to Hillary Clinton, said, "How are we going to stop the bitch?" And Senator McCain, said this.
"How do we beat the bitch?"
May I give the translation? The way that...
John, I thought she was talking about my ex-wife.
Okay, so obviously that was the question by the supporter, and he went on to say, "Excellent question."
Yes.
Where'd that happen?
Hilton Head, and Hilton Head is...
Hilton Head, that's supposed to be the sophisticated part of the state with all the northerners transplanted down there.
Yes, that's certainly the impression you get from Hilton Head if you visit there. It's a nice, ritzy, moneyed place, but it's still Old South, too. And, you know, there are some people with who are down there who show some of that Southern grit from time to time and forget their own politeness. Apparently that woman who was there, don't know much about her, but Hilton Head is one of our sister papers, the Hilton Head Island Packet, and they covered the story. They were there. It was at a restaurant. It was a routine campaign stop, and McCain does what he does anytime he has a meet and greet. He'll open the floor for questions, and you know, the reporter apparently said that he clearly was caught off guard, but apparently this woman's an activist, obviously she doesn't mind sharing her opinion about Mrs. Clinton.
I guess not. Don Imus wasn't there with him, was he? Oh, never mind. But the, you know, look, if people had stood up and said, with respect to Obama, how are we going to get the, or Bill Richardson, how are we going to get them? You know, it would be completely unacceptable. When this happens, everybody laughs and he says, excellent question.
Yes. And that's something that I think that McCain will have to continue to answer. We ran a story about that today, and we sort of picked it up because the Arizona folks, he was home yesterday, they picked it up. But clearly that's one of the things that you have to ask. I mean, obviously, is Mrs. Clinton the exception? And that certainly you would not have allowed someone to use a slur with some of the other candidates, because he would have immediately said that's unacceptable, and it would not have been him chuckling.
We have about 5 minutes left with Leroy Chapman, editor of The State, the largest newspaper in South Carolina, as we continue our weekly Thursday, November series on the primary campaign there. Let's take a couple of phone calls, and we'll get into some of those misconceptions that New Yorkers have. Roger in Asbury Park. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to ask, with all this talk about the New South and new attitudes towards race, you have Barack Obama reaching out to white voters and yet apparently being rebuffed in favor of Hillary Clinton amongst the white voters. Are there underlying deep antagonism with the South?
Good question, and it goes to one of the Northerner stereotypes, that all the whites down there are racist.
Well, race matters here. There's no question about that. And if you look at our own General Assembly, we only have, out of 46 senators, for instance, we've got six that are African American, and only one is in a district where it is not a majority black district. So getting elected in South Carolina, race really matters. Republican or Democrat, race matters. So we've not excised all of those demons about race, but you know, there are some things to point to that give you a little bit of hope. I mean, we've had some candidates here that have run very well statewide that wound up running well because they got a lot of white support. One of the gentlemen who 4 years ago who ran for attorney general did well. He got a lot of white support, and he's a guy who is a young guy. He's under 40, and he probably has a future in politics, and maybe could be the first candidate since Reconstruction to win a statewide office. But that's the key here for South Carolina. Can a black candidate win statewide office? And the answer right now, unfortunately, is no.
Charles in Sacramento, California, originally from South Carolina. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm great. Right to the point.
Okay. Well, I grew up there, and when I grew up there in the 50s and 60s, there were maybe 200 Republicans in the state. The majority of them were African Americans, but after the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, the Republican Party gained a lot of people who were upset with the Democrats. They had formerly been Democrats, and they went to the Republicans.
Right, it all flipped after the Boll-Weevil era.
But now I assume that it would be difficult for a person who may be a Roman Catholic like Rudy Giuliani, I don't know if he really is anymore, and a person of Southern European origin to be a successful candidate.
All right, I'm going to leave it there and get an answer because our time is short. But Leroy, we talked last week about prejudice against Mitt Romney, even among evangelical Christians in South Carolina, for being a Mormon. What about against Rudy Giuliani for being an Italian Catholic?
You know, it hasn't really come up as an issue. The Mormonism thing, I think, is something that's probably a little bit more foreign. I think that, you know, we've got Catholics here in South Carolina, and there are spots where there are strong pockets of the other state where there's a lot of Catholicism. So I don't think Rudy Giuliani suffers the same thing as Romney with Mormonism, because I think there's just so few Mormons here. I think it's foreign to a lot of evangelicals here.
Dennis,
I don't think there's been an evangelicals against Catholicism. There hasn't been much of a breach there.
Dennis in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dennis, right to the point.
Hi, Brian. Very quickly, love your show and the thoughtful election coverage. I'd like to make one very quick point. Edwards received, in the 2004 vote in South Carolina, 45% of the vote, 52% of the white vote, 36% of the black vote. And I realize that Sharpton's a different kind of candidate from Obama, but Sharpton only got 10% of the black vote. 10% of the total vote, 17% of the black vote. But more to my point, and I thought, by the way, Mr. Chapman did do a little selective skewering of Edwards last week in terms of the hypocrisy issue, and, you know, we can go on that some other time. But anyhow, I'm calling about the Bradley effect, which, of course, refers to Tom Bradley and Douglas Wilder effect.
And I'm going to finish the question because we're almost out of time, and I get the question. People tell pollsters different things than what they actually do in the booth when it comes to the race of candidates, right?
Yes.
You think that's in play?
Yeah, well, you know, that's something that is a concern certainly for the Obama people, especially if you because I think he's gotten a lot of goodwill. Certainly, he's not done anything to hurt himself here.
And we'll find out on primary day whether the
Bradley effect. We'll find out on primary day, certainly.
30 seconds left. Any other misconception that you think New Yorkers hold about politics in the South that you might want to bust apart?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, there's an image that politics here probably is a little bit more genteel than maybe politics in the North. But I grant you that politics here are probably just as rough. You know, the race issue certainly still is predominant in politics, too. But I think every other issue that you have elsewhere in the country, you probably got it here.
They're genteel on the surface with the knives right underneath.
Absolutely.
Leroy Chapman, editor of The State. In our Thursday, November series on the South Carolina primary, because we're really generous, Leroy, we're going to give you next Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, off.
I appreciate that.
And we'll talk to you again on the 29th. Thanks a lot.
I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.